from Mr. Del Guercio now.
Thank you, Chief Justice, and may it please the court. I would just note that I know when arguing, Mr. Heineman had indicated that the language in Article 8, Section 5, which we're here on today, he used the words, quote, anybody doing captain's work can receive acting captain's pay. And respectfully, that's just not what the language provides for. And that's where we respectfully submit that the appellate division got it right. We don't believe that the language is reasonably debatable. The language used in Section 5 specifically utilizes firefighters and captains. And that is significant, chiefly because those are both civil service defined titles. In the case of a firefighter, by way of example, there is no provision in the firefighter civil service job description, which just to be clear, was before the arbitrator Osborne at the time she had the case. There's no provision for firefighters to directly perform the duties of an acting captain. And in consequence, we submit that it was appropriate for the language at Article 8, Section 5 to have made provision for firefighters when acting as captain to receive acting captain's pay.
Well, firefighters, yes. Lieutenants came into being after the contract was signed.
Correct.
So they're not going to be mentioned in the contract at all. So does that mean lieutenants are not covered by any provision in the CNA?
I would submit, Justice, that at least with respect to Section 5, they would not be, only because
Why one and not any of the other ones?
Well, I think that's explained by the fact that when you look at the civil service job description for the position of fire lieutenant, among the duties of a fire lieutenant is to act when necessary as an acting captain.
You're here to interpret the contract.
Right.
Not the job description.
Understood.
My question is focused on the fact that lieutenants came into being after the contract was written.
Right.
So does that mean lieutenants, because they're not mentioned anywhere in the contract, and that's what the arbitrator was interpreting,
right,
do not stand to be covered by any provision in the CNA?
I don't think, I wouldn't go so far as to say any provision in the CNA, but the specific use of captain and firefighter is significant because if the language was intended, well, and again, obviously the lieutenants didn't exist,
right.
But I know just by way of example, though, you know, in City of Rahway and FMBA Local 33, which we had cited to the appellate division, there was a similar provision there, but it actually was written with the scope and breadth that Mr. Heineman believes this one should be. But I just don't see that here because I don't see how you can read the language that was at issue there, which went to the issue of anybody acting in a higher classification being compensated for the higher.
Do you agree that the standard is the reasonably debatable one? And it's not whether or not the our appellate division had a better interpretation. It's simply whether or not the arbitrator had a reasonably debatable interpretation of this contract language with this later occurrence of the creation of the fire lieutenant.
Well, and I think that's probably where the borough respectfully differs. Obviously, that's why we're here today. Mm-hmm. But clearly, I think, no, that is clearly the standard. I don't think anyone disputes that steelworkers applies and obviously New Jersey Transit. That is the standard. But I just don't, we respectfully submit that the arbitrator erred in just reading the language without consideration for what was in front of her. I mean, the language in conjunction with the specific language used firefighters and captains, albeit lieutenants did not exist, and we know that. And they didn't come into being until 2013, but the language, at least in the department as constituted at the time, is significant, given the civil service positions and the job descriptions to be performed.
How can it be part of some of the provisions in the contract if it didn't exist? Which provisions? Who decides that? You?
Oh, certainly not me, Justice.
Well, not you as the attorney, but the borough.
Right. Well, in this case, I mean, I think that will be the subject for further collective bargaining, respectfully.
Why not always, just as Leveque suggested, if it didn't exist, they should be none of them should apply to them, not just one preferable one for the borough.
Well, I mean, and I don't think it's disputed. And I think before the arbitrator, it was agreed that when lieutenants came into being, they were governed by the CNA, and certainly they are. But to the degree that they were performing the job of acting captain as part of the lieutenant's civil service job description, respectfully, the issue of additional compensation for a fire lieutenant should be the subject of negotiation between the parties.
Counsel, I asked earlier whether or not the borough had removed the position of captain, and they said no. The arbitrator decided that lieutenant is a senior firefighter under Section 5 and is therefore entitled to payment of the position of captain. They're filling in. There's a captain's position. It's not there. They're doing it. Why isn't that at least one reasonable interpretation, even if you think it's wrong? Like, go ahead.
Right. Oh, I was just going to say, Justice, that I think, again, reading that language, apart from the specific positions utilized in Section 5, captain and senior firefighter, there are specific terms. I mean, if they just said any subordinate acting in the capacity of a captain, I would certainly agree that that would be a reasonable read of the contract language, but it just doesn't say that.
Justice Leavitt, the arbitrator, look, if the agreement was clear, no one would have to interpret it. Okay. The fact that lieutenant isn't there requires that someone construe, like, what it means. The arbitrator said, you know, there are two possible interpretations. And my interpretation, looking at the whole of it, is that since the captain's position is still available, I think that lieutenant should be considered senior firefighter under the agreement, since no one contemplated lieutenant at the time that agreement was drafted. Like, why is that so thoroughly unreasonable?
I think, Justice, only because of the fact that, again, I think that the civil service job duties of those respective positions are significant. You know, it's true. Fire lieutenants did not exist in 2011. And that's undisputed by the record. But the fact is, a firefighter is not ordinarily called upon, at least under the civil service job title for that post, to perform the position or the duties of an acting captain, and therefore compensation for that role would be appropriate. And we submit that's what Section 5 addresses, that scenario where that specific title is performing the duties and therefore is entitled to be properly paid for that. But if a fire lieutenant, as the appellate division we submit correctly held, you know, is acting as a captain, that's one of the inherent duties of an acting of a lieutenant, and therefore the issue of compensation under Section 5 doesn't trigger it at all. At least that's certainly what the borough has argued since the arbitration, and we submit as the appropriate read and only read of the provision.
Mr. Del Guercio, if we find under the circumstances that Section 5 is ambiguous and that there are two reasonable responses, shouldn't the arbitrator's award be confirmed?
I mean, certainly that's the hypothetical, Chief Justice. This court is obviously going to pass upon that. We submit that it's just not a reasonable read of Section 5, irrespective.
And that's because you find Section 5 to be crystal clear.
Well, I think as written in 2011, certainly it was. But I think it's also significant to remember that. Even though captains have been either, I mean, I know Mr. Heineman used the term eliminated, but through either, you know, retirement, demotion, otherwise have essentially been removed at the present time by attrition, there were captains, you know, following the creation of the lieutenant position. And from 2013 until 2017, this issue was never flagged by Local 67. And certainly at some point in those 4 years, a captain would have been absent from a shift, and no claim at all was ever made by any lieutenant, not until August of 2017. So I think in that case, I mean, we submit that the language of Section 5 as negotiated and drafted is subject to only that interpretation when considering the relative civil service descriptions of those positions. They did not flag the issue prior to 2017. We do believe that if that is an issue, Chief Justice, to your question, that you know, that is a subject for collective bargaining. It's not the subject for, you know, for stretching a provision that clearly used two specific fire titles.
Why did the borough not bring a scope of negotiations petition?
Unfortunately, Justice, I can't address why that was never done.
So the arbitrator relied on the continuing violation and limited the back pay amount to the date that the grievance was filed. Isn't that the typical way in which an improper pay claim is handled?
I think certainly assuming that her interpretation is correct, the remedy itself would be appropriate. And certainly, again, that's the whole reason why we've come from an arbitration proceeding all the way up to this court. Certainly the implementation of the remedy, that's ordinarily what would be done. And I think it was on a forward basis, she granted relief from August of 17 when the
grievance was filed.
Right. She deemed it a continuing violation, and therefore on a forward basis, that was calculated. So certainly I think that's not the problem of the mechanism of the remedy. I think it's just respectfully the fact that we, and again, I think consistent with the appellate division's ruling, you just don't get there once you consider the duties of a fire lieutenant. We just respectfully, you know, disagree with that interpretation of Section 5.
I understand your argument. Thank you.
Thank you. And I touched on it a little bit, but the issue of past practice, at least the borough submits that if...
Can I ask you one question?
Yes, Judge.
Since the position of captain was not eliminated, and therefore since the borough could have elevated someone to the position of a captain, if a captain and lieutenant are on the scene of a fire, are you telling me they have the same duties? That the lieutenant has the same duties as the captain?
Well, in that particular instance, I mean, certainly if hypothetically where there were a captain, the captain under Article 5 would take the lead, but there's certainly...
I'm asking that question, but because by posing it, it answers itself. That at the scene, a captain and a lieutenant would have different functions, correct?
I believe that's a fair statement, Justice.
Okay. And that was one of the reasons why Section 5 was created in the first place, is of course in the absence of a captain, someone should be acting like a captain, correct?
True, but again, I think that contemplates a civil service classification rank that would not be, at least the language as drafted, that a rank and a title that would not be performing the duties of a captain without compensation. And that's why a quote senior firefighter would be distinct from a lieutenant, because agreed. I mean, obviously if you have a fire captain and a fire lieutenant on scene or on a shift, in terms of rank and file, rank I presume would govern, but in the absence of a captain, a lieutenant by job description can, and as part of the job duties of the lieutenant, does perform.
So think about your construct and whether it's reasonable that in the absence of a lieutenant on the shift, there's no captains, a senior firefighter will make more than a lieutenant. He'll make what a captain was making, and the lieutenant will make less. You think that is a reasonable construct?
Now, I'm sorry, Justice, that's a scenario where it was...
There's a fire.
Right.
There's no lieutenant on duty that evening. And we know that there are no captains in the borough. The senior firefighter goes to the scene, takes on the responsibilities of the captain, and under the contract gets the captain's pay, correct?
Correct. That's absolutely what it was drafted for.
Okay, great. But if the lieutenant is available and takes on the captain's pay, he makes less money. He just makes what a lieutenant's making. That's your construct.
That is.
And that's the construct that the arbitrator said, well, maybe that's not the most reasonable one, right?
I mean, respectfully, that's what arbitrator Osborne had concluded. Obviously, fire lieutenants as a component of their duties do perform as acting captains. And certainly they do have a salary differential that's higher than a senior firefighter already. Albeit not to the level of a captain. I mean, that's clear enough, but certainly their job title contemplates performing as an acting captain under certain circumstances. And therefore, at least under what we believe is the correct read of Article 5 and the only reasonable one.
And your most reasonable read is that at the in the absence of a captain, the senior firefighter gets paid the captain's pay if there's no lieutenant available. But if a lieutenant is available, he gets paid. He doesn't get the captain's pay. So the senior firefighter does better. That's your interpretation.
At least as drafted and written, we submit it is. Certainly, I understand the court's equitable concerns, but I submit that's an issue for collective bargaining. If there's a concern over how to deal with lieutenants, which again have now been in existence since 2013, it's 7-8 years. Certainly the parties, this agreement in fact expired in 2015. So certainly the discussion should have been appropriate for the bargaining table, I would submit.
Could you clarify one thing for me?
Certainly.
I understand under the contract, you have captains and you have senior firefighters, no lieutenants, correct?
Correct.
We can all read that. That over time, the department evolved through the borough to having senior firefighters and lieutenants, but no captains, correct?
That's my understanding of the current construct.
And you're relying on the fact that under civil service, the responsibilities of a captain are to act in place of the responsibilities of a lieutenant is to act in the place of a fire captain in his or her absence, correct?
Correct.
Not civil service and the whole structure of civil service with respect to fire departments presume that the captain's position exists and is filled. Otherwise, there's no absence. You're not absent if you're never there.
Right.
So doesn't civil service contemplate kind of exactly what we have here, that you've got a different situation where you have no captains and the firefighter is acting permanently as a captain? He'd be entitled to petition to get an increase in his title and salary. Every lieutenant would have the ability to do that. And you're essentially admitting he's entitled to it.
I didn't want to interrupt you, Justice.
No, I'm done.
I was just going to say to that latter point, classification appeals and desk audits were in fact undertaken with respect to the position of lieutenant. Certain of the lieutenants in fact petitioned civil service for determination as to whether they were actually performing as captains. Kind of in line, I think, with the reasoning you're discussing.
I thought that was while the captains were still in place. You had some captains.
These were actually fairly recent classification appeals, 2019, which was after the last captain, I believe, had retired in 18.
Okay, I'm correct.
So the lieutenants who are presently serving in that role, they did in fact make application to civil service, and the position, and that was essentially their grievance, that we should be classified as captains by virtue of what we do. And civil service said, no, you're properly classified as fire lieutenants, even when acting in that role, you may by circumstance or the absence of a captain here, and obviously there are none at the moment, you would nonetheless be properly classified as a lieutenant. So in that sense, civil service has at least addressed that aspect of the role. And I think that kind of dovetails into issues of also, oh, I'm sorry, I got justice.
Was that because captain is still listed as a title within the collective negotiating agreement? Was the outcome?
I believe it was a review. A desk audit ordinarily is a review of the duties of those who are petitioning to see what they actually do, what functions they undertake, and then civil service will make a determination. And my understanding was that these particular individuals, I think it kind of dovetails into this same arbitration and litigation, that they felt that, well, we're performing as captains or acting captains, therefore we should be classified as captains. So I think that issue's already, at least vis-a-vis civil service, been addressed. And again, I think that also dovetails into the issue of managerial prerogative. of the borough. And that's one of the issues we had argued to the appellate division, was that essentially reading this the way the arbitrator interpreted it, you're essentially requiring that there be essentially an acting captain on every shift, you know, going on a forward basis. And there's certainly no, even though the position does still exist, it's not filled, and there's no, at least at present, no obligation to fill it.
But counsel,
yes,
could the borough not have exercised its managerial prerogative by removing the position of captain?
It certainly could have.
But it never did so. I mean, so it's still there. I mean, the position of captain is still an existing position within the borough. Correct.
I believe it is at this time. I certainly can't represent that with 100% certainty, but I'm pretty confident in making that statement that it is. Oh, I'm sorry. Sound.
You're muted, Justice Salvin. Please unmute.
Yes, Justice. Thank you.
Oh.
I don't see how managerial prerogative comes into play, since it was never exercised by the borough. So I don't see how that's an argument.
Well, I mean, I think because the position continues to exist, certainly insofar as it's not been repealed by borough ordinance, it's still an existing post within the department. The issue of obviously assignment to it and shift scheduling to fill it or not fill it is, I think where when I say managerial prerogative, I'm referring to the discretion to fill or not fill the position. But I understand what you're saying, Justice, in terms of it. It is still a construct that exists within the borough ordinances, to my knowledge. Sorry, just making sure I've covered everything that I would just note too. I know that Mr. Heineman did allude to the appellate division conducting, I believe in his petition, essentially a de novo factual review. And I think we've covered a lot of that ground, so I probably don't need to really go there too much. But we really, I think in order for the court to review the veracity of what the arbitrator did, I think of necessity, it has to at least look at what I've described in terms of the borough's read of the language, civil service job descriptions. We think that the review did consider, and it didn't simply just pay lip service to the reasonable debatable standard. We do submit that the court was correct in concluding that this was the only reasonable interpretation of Section 5.
Counsel, I think we have your position, unless there's anything you'd like to add.
I think that's it, Chief Justice. I just wanted to make sure from my notes there was nothing else. Thank you for your
time. Understood. Thank you. Mr. Heineman, did you want to offer rebuttal?
Yes, just very briefly, if I may, Chief Justice. During the break, I was provided with September 19th, 2019 borough ordinance, which surprised me. The borough ordinance actually did remove the position of captain from the table of organization. The arbitrator's award was back in 2018. And what's very curious is at the time they were doing that, the parties were in contract negotiations and maintained the same titles, adding lieutenant to the collective negotiations agreement. So the current collective negotiations agreement, which was not before the arbitrator, includes those three titles: firefighter, lieutenant, captain. And the party specifically agreed to maintain the language pending the outcome of the arbitration. So I apologize, I was unaware of the borough ordinance, although it came into being or was changed after the arbitration and after the initial litigation in this matter. Now, having said that, everyone recognizes there was no lieutenant position at the time the collective negotiations agreement was entered into. I would refer you to the Linden Board of Education case, Linden versus Linden Board of Ed versus Linden Education Association. The court there specifically noted, although arbitrators may not contradict the express language of a contract, it is the arbitrator's construction that is bargained for. It is the arbitrator's role to fill in the gaps. And that gap filling function comes from cases like MISCO and the Steelworkers Trilogy. So when there's and collective negotiations is dynamic. There's change all the time. When management does something, the union reacts with a grievance or a demand to bargain or a charge. So it's a very dynamic function. And the courts have always, in looking at arbitration, recognized the arbitrator needs to fill in those gaps based on things like language, practice, bargaining history, the practical realities of the job, the common law of the shop. Those are the things that were brought to bear here. The arbitrator, looking at it, reasonably filled in this gap by saying, lieutenants are part of the agreement. They're covered everywhere. They're the senior firefighters. Analogizing to civil service, she found those are effectively the senior firefighters because they're to act. They're doing the same functions. They should get paid. And of course, the anomaly Justice Albin pointed out comes into play there. You wouldn't have somebody lower paid taking on these higher duties. So all of that came into the arbitrator's consideration and was briefed by the parties. It was put before, and I think she made a reasonable construction in filling in that gap. Now, there were several questions about civil service. And my initial reaction to the civil service discussion is it's all extrinsic. It shouldn't color the arbitrator's decision-making. And there's cases cited in the brief that discuss the use of extrinsic evidence to evaluate arbitration. But what I found kind of interesting is once you go through the civil service process, the desk audit, civil service, they come out with a decision which says the lieutenants, or they say a captain's position under New Jersey civil service law can be either a primary supervisor or a secondary supervisor. So meaning some larger communities have secondary captains, some smaller communities have secondary captains, but there are a lot of small communities where the primary level supervisor is a captain. And there are other communities where the primary level supervisor is a lieutenant. So civil service, and when Mr. Del Garcia says what civil service found, they actually found that at that primary level, supervisor captains and lieutenants are interchangeable. Now, civil service has no role in deciding compensation. That's for the collective negotiations process. And here in 2011, the parties negotiated that if the borough assigns shift captain's duties to somebody, at that point in time, a senior firefighter, or if they assign them to a captain, they get this higher pay rate. So now we have the lieutenants doing the same exact work as the captain, the same responsibilities. The reasonably debatable conclusion filling in the gap is that that lieutenant is entitled to the pay that the parties bargained would be done for that work.
Mr. Heineman, I think we have your position. This is rebuttal where we get yes. Get into it much more clipped fashion. Is there anything else you wanted to end on?
I was trying to, Chief Justice, I apologize. I was actually coming to the end. So thank you very much for your indulgence.
Thank you. Thank you to both counsel. We'll take the matter under advisement.